All right, we look at something in Baptist history, and this week we're going to look at something in Baptist history and a hymn, one of my favorite hymns, and one that I think you'll enjoy the story. But the United States was very young in 1808 when Samuel Francis Smith was born in Massachusetts. He was a very smart child, and he was fortunate enough to be born in a family that could afford a quality education. While he was still a teenager, Smith left home to begin studying at Harvard. And during this time at Harvard, he was saved, and he began to serve the Lord in a local Baptist church there in Massachusetts. At the same time, he met a man that would become a lifelong friend, a very famous man later, Oliver Wendell Holmes, who would become Supreme Court Justice. He graduated in 1829, and he began a career in journalism. About a year later, the Lord called him to preach. And so he entered seminary at Andover Theological Seminary. One of Smith's close friends, while he was a student, had gone to Germany for some time, and as he toured that old country, this friend was deeply moved by the music that he heard there. He didn't understand much German, but he was deeply moved by that. He had toured some of the cathedrals and the choirs singing and that. And that made him collect some hymn books, song books, and he brought them back to America in hopes that somebody could find some of these songs. Maybe they'd be useful in the seminary or in the local churches. And so he gave them to a great hymn writer and a man that was a great soloist himself, a Lowell Mason. Mason couldn't understand what was so appealing. Frankly, the Americans were trying at that time to move away from things of Europe. They wanted their own things, and there was kind of a movement to write American its own folk songs. And so things of Europe, as you can understand, the country just separating from Europe, things of Europe didn't really excite the people over here. And so Mason gave them to his friend Francis Smith. Samuel Smith, he gave them to him knowing that Smith knew German very well, and maybe he could translate some things and find something, and frankly, Mason didn't want to mess with it. Well, Smith didn't want to mess with it either. He was busy, and the music did not excite him at all. But one really cold February day, he had nothing else to do. He was supposed to go someplace, but he didn't want to head out into the storm, and the only thing sitting on his desk was these hymn books. So he thought, okay, I'll start looking through them. So he began to look through them, and he sang and he was a musician. He sang and played some of the songs, and then one jumped out. The music jumped out at him, and it was simple and straightforward. And he began to translate the German words to find out what this song was about. And he found out that it was not a typical Christian hymn, but it was a German patriotic hymn. And what he had just discovered had been written to salute and to ask God's blessing on the German rulers. And the words of the song said this: God save our gracious king, long live our noble king, God save the king, send her victorious, happy, and glorious, long to reign over us. And as he read that, just in that moment, really he said he was just kind of filled with emotion as he thought of his own country, our country, and how America had been wonderfully blessed by God. Why shouldn't he write a hymn for America that would fit this tune? He picked up his pen and he began to write the words to "My Country, 'Tis of Thee, Sweet Land of Liberty, of Thee I Sing." And he said later, "When I came across the air, God Save the King," says Smith later, he said, "I liked the music. I glanced at the German words at the front of the page. Under the inspiration of the moment, I went to work, and in half an hour, America was the result. It was written on a scrap of paper I picked up from the table, and the hymn of today is substantially the same as it was written that day." He did brave the cold weather. He went and took this hymn to Mason and his friend that had just come from Germany. And Mason, being the musician, the great musician that he was, realized that something really great had been written here. And America quickly swept New England, this song America, and became very, very popular. By the 1850s, about 20 years later, it was in most American hymnals. It was sung all the time, not just on Independence Day, but sung all the time in churches because of its message. It was not really sung as much. It became very popular after the Civil War. During that time, the song became used all over the place when the American flag was shot down over Fort Sumter America was sung through the streets in Washington. It was a symbol of solidarity and strength at the flag raisings in the North. Historians say that it was the most popular song in America from 1860 to 1900. Just, you know, aside from all the worldly songs, was the most popular song of any. And Astor Smith left his studying for the ministry. He went on to become one of the outstanding Baptist preachers of the 19th century, although we remember him mostly for this song. And he seemed to find this song everywhere he went. He said, "I heard it on the Atlantic Ocean." He wrote, he traveled as a missionary in his later years. He said, "I heard it on the Atlantic Ocean." He said, "On the Baltic Sea and on the Mediterranean, in London and Liverpool and Stockholm, Copenhagen, Paris, Rome, Naples, in the Baths of Pompeii, in Athens, Calcutta, and Rangoon." He said, "I heard it on the top of Pike's Peak once when he climbed Pike's Peak. He heard it under the caverns in Manitou, Colorado, where it was played on stalactites." And it became so popular that people wanted it to become the national anthem of the United States. The problem was that the tune had already been adopted by England as its national anthem, and you know America would have none of that. So we didn't want to be accused of copying the English. Actually, in 1931, the United States chose as its national anthem the song we sing as a national anthem, America, this song, its impact cannot be diminished, I don't think. In his lifetime, he composed 150 hymns. He compiled his own hymn book. He was skilled in 15 languages. He was learning Russian when he died at 86. But it is for America that Samuel Francis Smith will always be remembered. And I want to just read the last verse, which we all know, but great, great hymn. "Our Father's God, to thee, author of liberty, to thee we sing. Long may our land be bright with freedom's holy light. Protect us by thy might, great God our King." And then back to that old classmate of his, Oliver Wendell Holmes, who was the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. Holmes said later, talking about the power of this song, he said, a year before his death, he said, "Now there's Smith." He said, "His name will be honored by every school child in the land when I have been forgotten 100 years. He wrote, 'My country, 'tis of thee.' If he had said, 'Our country, 'tis of thee,' the hymn would never have been immortalized," he said. "But he said, 'My country,' and that was the masterstroke." He said, "Everyone who sings this hymn at once feels a personal ownership of this native land. This hymn will last as long as the country lasts." And so I just want to tell you that story this morning, just about a great American patriotic hymn and the Baptist preacher who wrote that hymn. All right, ushers, if you'll come, we'll take our